You are listening to Working Out, Working In, Melding Exercise and Mindfulness, brought to you by Forge Fitness and Wellness. First of all, let me thank you for taking the time to listen to this debut podcast as I explore mindful exercise. My name is Colin Christensen. I'm a wellness enthusiast with a degree in exercise sciences, and I'm currently in the final year of attaining my doctorate in physical therapy. And this podcast is inspired by my experiences working as a trainer and wellness coach, particularly as an instructor in Tai Chi and Qigong, which both have great emphasis on the internal benefits of exercise. And right off the bat, I want to talk about why this series. Why discuss mindfulness and exercise? In plain and simple, it's all about learning and exploration. I want to know if it's possible to fully meld mindfulness and exercise such that exercise can have a profound effect on our mental health. Can exercise be framed in a way that it means more than simply looking, feeling, and performing better? And can developing our body be a means to better understand our thoughts, feelings, and dreams? My intuition tells me that this is probably the case, but it's what I hope to research and share in this podcast. And I'm particularly interested in this topic from the perspective of investigating the mind-body connection. So let's go ahead. We're going to pause there and unpack this phrase, mind-body connection, because I know that a lot of people probably freeze up there and there's a lot of assumptions being made. A lot of people tend to go to the idea of some hippy-dippy, mysticism-laced concept in which we're going to learn how to unlock our mind's full potential so that we can punch through walls and develop telekinetic powers and ascend the Jedihood. And as awesome as that sounds, that's not what we're talking about. I mean, if there was any logical basis for that, I would love to research it. But unfortunately, I don't really think that there's any basis for that being considered mind-body connection. And perhaps it's just my bias as a future physical therapist, where evidence-based practice guided by scientific principles is all the rage. But I myself, and I think a lot of others, are all about the evidence. And so let's go ahead, and we're going to frame this mind-body connection term in the realm of science by establishing a clear definition for discussion. And we're going to push that mystic preconception out of the way and really break down this term, mind-body, to be a little more digestible. So by mind-body connection, I'm talking about the observable, undeniable interaction between the physical state of your body and your mental processes. Now, in Western society, we tend to differentiate and dissect the two as if your brain, your mind, is separate from your body. Whereas on a simple anatomic level, we all know the brain is an organ in our body. But for some reason, our stigma in the West, in America in particular, has resulted in us separating mental health from simply health. So for some reason in America, it's less valid to be excused from work if you're anxious than if you're having heart palpitations, for example. Even though anxiety can literally result in heart palpitations. It's apparently more valid to miss work when you get heart palpitations from a dysfunction in your ion channels. But it's not okay if you get heart palpitations because of your mental stress. So that sounds very illogical to me. And from my point of view, when it comes to health and wellness, mental health really needs to enter the conversation because it is so critical to our well-being. And full disclaimer here, I don't intend for anything in this podcast to act as medical or psychiatric advice. Nothing discussed here is a substitute for medication, cognitive therapy, or other mental health interventions. All of those things are valid and have their place in managing mental health. My goal instead is to offer insight into the power that mindful exercise has to modify our health and wellness by teaching people how to gain better access to your mindsets and perspectives through the window of training your body. And so let's go ahead and go back to mind-body connection and why I find it so strange and counterintuitive that we differentiate and stigmatize mental health from just plain health. Because as stated before, the mind exists within the body, and truthfully, they are one and the same. And we'll put it this way. It is simple, well-known medical knowledge that the brain is a key organ in the body, and it's so intimately connected to our body processes that it can affect all body systems on a level as basic as our physiology. And the reverse is true as well. You know, the state of our mind affects the state of your body, just as the state of our body will affect our mind. And if you're not so sure about that, let's look at a very simple physiological marker, which is heart rate. Our heart rate can fluctuate and change in response to all kinds of stimuli and stress. From a physical perspective, we can increase heart rate with exercise. We all know that increasing activity means increasing our heart rate. Your heart rate is directly related to the amount of effort that you're required to put forth. So it makes sense that running faster or lifting more weight with greater intensity is going to demand more blood to the muscle tissue, and the response is that our nervous system signals for an increase in heart rate to provide that blood supply. On the other hand, heart rate is also lowered when we reduce our activity. Lying down and sleeping can decrease your heart rate as much as 10 to 15 beats or more below what it would be when you're awake, standing, or walking around. So heart rate is greatly affected by our mental state as well. I think we've all experienced a situation in which stress and anxiety makes your heart begin to race. You know, we've all been in a high-stakes situation or experienced emotional distress where it feels like your heart is beating out of your chest. Oftentimes when you experience that, you're not exercising vigorously, and yet we still experience this really fast heartbeat. And we can also all relate to how relaxing activities can reduce our stress and lead to a reduced heart rate, especially nowadays with the accessibility of wearable fitness trackers that can monitor our heart rate. I personally notice that my heart rate tends to be about 6 to 8 beats per minute lower when I'm relaxing at a coffee shop, sipping on some tea and studying, compared to when I'm working with the same material and taking notes in a demanding lecture in PT school. The physical demands of sitting and writing are the same, and yet for some reason, my heart is working quite a bit harder when I'm listening to a lecture compared to relaxing in a coffee shop studying, because mentally I'm under more stress in the lecture. And so let's take this a step further by imagining a scenario. Say we're setting up an experiment where we strap a heart rate monitor to somebody and we allow them to go about their day and have no knowledge of their schedule. So we are simply going to be observing a screen where their current heart rate is displayed and just monitoring how that changes. So if we're monitoring this person's heart rate remotely and we have no insight into what they're doing, it's impossible for us to really separate the actions of the physical versus the mental. So say we're looking at the monitor and we see their resting heart rate of 60 beats a minute climb to 95 beats per minute. One person might look at that and think, oh wow, maybe they just got up and started walking really fast, or maybe they're going for a jog. That's possible, but it would also be equally valid for someone to think, oh wow, look at that heart rate increase. Maybe they're really stressed out right now. So the point is that just by looking at heart rate, we can't reliably discern if somebody is exercising or if they are incredibly nervous and presenting to, say, their board of directors at their job with their career on the line. And that's because our bodies respond to stress indiscernibly. Our body will react the same way to a physical demand, such as exercise, as it will to a mental demand, which would be like a high-stakes, stressful situation. And this is because our heart rate response is modulated by our nervous system. In fact, the sympathetic nervous system, which is responsible for our fight-or-flight mechanism, is what increases our heart rate. And it does that in the same exact way for exercise as it does for mental stress. It doesn't differentiate the two, it has the same exact process. Conversely, the same is true for the parasympathetic nervous system, which is responsible for our resting response. So it will decrease your heart rate the same way if you're unwinding from a stressful day and relaxing as it will if you are decreasing your physical activity. So this is exactly what I mean by mind-body connection. Our mental state and physical state both affect us at a very basic and physiologic level, and they do so through the same exact mechanisms. In other words, they're intimately connected and they both feed into the same result. So with that in mind, it stands to reason that we should be able to affect the health of one system, mental or physical, by acting on the other. And this is also well documented. The increased heart rate from a mentally taxing, high-stress situation can be lowered through the physical act of deep breathing. And in fact, it's even a natural, perhaps even instinctual reaction that we have. I think we've all, again, experienced a situation where you're stressed, your heart's pounding in your chest, and you have that little mental dialogue where you say, okay, let's just take a deep breath and relax, we're going to get through this. And the science backs this. Deep breathing with the diaphragm, which is that muscle below your lungs that really is responsible for our ability to breathe in deeply, when we use that muscle, it stimulates the vagus nerve, which is a powerful player in that parasympathetic nervous system that we talked about earlier, that part of the nervous system that's responsible for relaxation. And by stimulating the vagus nerve and the parasympathetic nervous system, we experience a physiologic relaxation response. Decreased heart rate, our blood vessels dilate, all of these things. And so deep down, we seem to instinctually know that by focusing on a physical action, by focusing on breathing, we can affect our mental status through our body by producing a relaxing effect. And the only reason that this works is because our mind and body exist within each other and they affect each other. So my point is that though we can separate mind and body on an intellectual level, they remain undeniably the same. And so this is actually why I chose the podcast artwork of this series, the symbol of yin and yang, to represent mind and body, as well as mindfulness and exercise, because even though we can differentiate the two on an intellectual level, they also exist within each other and depend on the other one to exist. And this is just like what traditional mind-body practices like Tai Chi and yoga have taught for thousands of years. You know, this isn't mystical bullshit. There is observable truth to it, right down to the very level of our physiology as human beings. And so this really begs the driving question of this podcast. If mind and body are the same, and if affecting one affects the other, then why should we separate training the two? By improving the health of my body with exercise, can I also improve my mental health? And by improving my mindset, by altering my outlook on life, can I also experience bodily health improvements? A significant amount of mental health research actually seems to agree with this conclusion. In fact, a simple search on PubMed looking at exercise and depression will pull up about 16,000 hits, and there's a high number of high-quality studies and systematic reviews that find that consistent exercise routines have the same positive effect on mood as antidepressants do. Now, again, I'm not making this podcast as medical advice or advising people to go off of meds or stop cognitive therapy. Again, those things are incredibly important. They have their place in managing those diseases. My hope is simply to spread awareness that by training our bodies, we also can experience benefits beyond just the physical. So, why is it that running outside or lifting weights can make people happier? It's because your mind and your body are the same. By training the body, we train the mind at the very level of our nervous system. Exercise has been documented to induce changes in our neurotransmitters. It builds and strengthens synapses in our entire system. And in fact, it can increase blood supply and nutrition to our brain. So the power of training our body to affect our mind is not new knowledge. And that's why Tai Chi, yoga, and Qigong for so long have all focused on the internal emphasis of exercise, on the presence and the breathing, as well as the external, such as the improvements in flexibility and strength. This is ancient wisdom, and I don't think I'm going to discover anything new in this podcast in that realm. My hope is simply that maybe I can repackage some of the knowledge that our ancestors knew thousands of years ago by implementing some of these mind-body practices and trying to rediscover these truths for myself and present them in a way that people can resonate with them and hopefully implement into their own lives. And so what I believe essentially is that our bodies can be a gateway to our mind and to our spirit. And that is why I chose the slogan for my wellness coaching business, Forge Fitness and Wellness, to be, the goal is to temper body, mind, and spirit. Physical training and exercise can go so much beyond what we do to affect our body. And if we choose to look at exercise mindfully to train our mind as well, I think there's a lot more potential there for us to lead lives of wellness. And ultimately, that's why I've come to the conclusion that if my goal is to truly be well, if I truly want to master my own health, then it is impossible for me to ignore my mental health. And so my plan is to use exercise as a gateway to build mental discipline, to improve my awareness, and to find peace. And exercise and mindfulness are two different inputs that lead to the single output of wellness. The most efficient way to achieve that output of wellness is to implement mindfulness and exercise simultaneously. So to make sense of that, and because I'm a sucker for a good analogy, let me frame it this way. If I had a goal, or say my desired output was to obtain $1,000, I could do that with two different inputs. I could chase that in two different ways. One input would be I could, for example, work more hours at my job. A different input could be cutting out unnecessary expenses and saving that money from the hours that I currently work. Now, if I chose to only focus on implementing one input, say either working more hours or saving more money, it would definitely take a lot more time and be less efficient for me to reach my desired output of $1,000. But if I took on more hours while also cutting frivolous spending, I'd reach my goal of $1,000 much more quickly and efficiently because I am choosing to tackle that problem or that goal from both ends. So if my goal, if my desired output is to lead a life of wellness, I need to attack my health not only from a physical exercise perspective, but also from a mental perspective. And I can't think of a better way to do that than by trying to integrate the two together. As such, I want to explore these ideas in this podcast by documenting my own personal implementation of mindful exercise, and perhaps by interviewing a number of other professionals in the realms of wellness, mental health, and exercise to further add ideas to this concept. So if you're listening to this podcast, my hope is that your intuition guides you to the same conclusion that mindfulness and exercise really should be hand in hand. Or at the very least, maybe this podcast sparks some curiosity for you to explore that concept a little bit deeper. Working Out, Working In is brought to you by Forge Fitness and Wellness. For more information and content, check out my website at www.forge-fnw.com.